Amen. We have talked for 4 weeks on praise, and I'm thinking many of you have been there for at least one or two sessions, but there's always room for review. So I've been talking about, if you haven't been here, for a few weeks about praise and worship and experiencing and engaging our whole bodies in the presence of the Lord and our whole body, mind, and spirit. How worship was never meant or created to be a one-dimension action. It was meant to be a whole experience. And the Lord created us, as we hopefully most of us know, that we have not just a body. You know, that's not all we have here. What else do we have? I want to do some Q&A, if you can remember. Bob, do you remember? What else do we have? Body, soul, and spirit. Amen. So we are not just a body, we're also not just a spirit, and we're also not just a soul. We have all three interconnecting, influencing, and engaging together. So our bodies are a beautiful and wonderful part of worship that often can be forgotten or not engaged, because we can sometimes be so focused on the spiritual side. But our bodies actually can enhance our spirit and soul's engagement in worship and praise and experiencing the presence of the Lord. So that's what I've been talking about. So God created man to function as a whole, so that our thoughts, emotions, and actions all shape one another. It's designed to engage the whole person. Outward actions impact our inward spirit. And we actually talked about there's some psychological things behind that. There's science behind that as well, that our bodies can influence our spirit and our spirit influencing our bodies. So it's pretty powerful. Yeah, we also talked about the hindrances of expression and praise and worship. Does anyone remember some of the things we talked about? What can hold us back from wholly engaging in the presence of God? Name a fear. Yeah, fear of distractions. Yes. Religious spirit, it can hold us back, yes. Maybe expand a bit on that, religious spirit. Yeah, so past religious ideologies or thoughts that could impact that are not necessarily biblical. So an example we did talk about before was Gnosticism and how that has kind of creeped into some of our beliefs. Yeah, like, what's the word? Sorry, I've been awake since 2:30. That's another issue that we have some troubles with sleep in our house. Yes, beliefs. It impacts and it influences our beliefs. So Gnosticism was the belief that the spirit is the ultimate goal and the body is pretty much useless or actually evil. And so if you've ever heard growing up that dancing shouldn't be in church or that we shouldn't really express emotions, emotions are not, you know, are not good. Emotions aren't good in the presence of God. We need to be all like, all mind, you know. So those thoughts all actually come from that thought and that ideology of that the body was evil and should be separated and cut off and that the spirit is our end goal. But that's not biblically true. Jesus talks about how that when we resurrect, there will be a body. It's not going to be only spirit. And he says it was good when he made us. He didn't say, oh, your body's bad. So, you know, that was not the original plan. The body was good. The whole man was good. So biblically speaking, our bodies are beautiful and important in worship. So fear, distractions, religious spirits, what else can hold us back from physically engaging in the presence of the Lord? Yeah, like physically, I don't know how to dance. Yeah, that can actually hold us back from evangelism too, because we are like, oh, I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know what to say. Yes, that kind of links in with fear. There's like this unknown of, I don't know how, or I look silly. What will other people say? Heaven forbid if I did a little jig, you know. Yes, that is very true. Or yeah, looking silly because we never had dance class. That's very, very, very good. Actually, I experienced that in growing up. We're going to talk about this a little bit later when we get to the word. Growing up, this church was a really big dancing church, and all the girls my age were all part of this dance team where we danced. This is why our team is over here, actually, because the stage was always meant for dancing. And so back in the day, we would be up here, but all the other girls in my age group actually went to ballet class. But I didn't, and neither did my sister. Anyway, so we felt a little bit on the outside and very unsure of our abilities, because we really didn't have any abilities. But we did it anyways, because we were kind of supposed to, everyone was. But I learned so much through that of like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. But I felt so many times, people, this is crazy, people would come up to me after and say, wow, you know, we could really feel the Holy Spirit, or there's been breakthrough when you dance. And I'd be like, what? So often through high school, I would imagine that there was this shroud or cloud of the Holy Spirit just like hiding me, and all they could see was the glory, because I was like, I'm pretty sure I look like a complete mess up there. But yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, yeah, our physical capabilities, because the Holy Spirit can just transcend all of that. And it doesn't, David, I'm sure, did not look very put together when he was going crazy, right? I don't know what he looked like, but I'm guessing there was limbs everywhere and maybe, yeah, I don't know. He probably looked pretty crazy. So yeah, undignified. So I kind of felt, okay. Yeah, at least I wasn't doing that, you know. But yeah, I definitely was not put together and very very graceful. So even though it's funny because my name means graceful, and I was always laughing because I'm the most clumsy one up there and la la la. But yeah, God used me in spite of that, so he can use you too. Yes, amen. So that's something that can hinder us, is that fear of looking silly or not knowing how to do anything, like even... yeah, am I raising my hand properly? Am I doing this properly? We can get so focused on that, the properly stuff, but that's not the point. Yeah, God is the point. He's our audience of one, right? Yes. So even voice singing can hold people back if they feel afraid or they don't feel like they can sing. But I have heard some of the worst singers be the most beautiful worshipers. And it doesn't matter like what they sound like, it truly doesn't. When there's that heart of worship there, it actually convicts me and brings me to my knees, because I'm like, whoa, there's an anointing there, even though maybe it doesn't, like, but there is a place for sounding good. But there's also a place where it doesn't matter, you know, you just worship the Lord. I'm sure every single Israelite was not a beautiful singer, but they were all told to sing. So interesting, right? God does want to use all of us, even in ways that maybe are not natural or comfortable to us. But that's the point, right? Because we're not supposed to really be comfortable. I didn't see many characters in the Bible that were very comfortable. Do you? I don't know. Can you name a comfortable person in the Bible? Let's think for a minute. No, I can't think of any. There might have been someone, but... Oh, yeah, other things. What are other things that hold us back? Ooh, unforgiveness. Yes, bitterness, disunity, division, strife. What other words are there for that? There's a lot. Yes, amen. It says that there's blessing where there's unity among the brothers. So that's the Lord's presence may not be as tangible and strong in a place where there is tension and anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. Yes, but that's not something we look at someone else and say, oh, you need to deal with that so that we can blah, blah, blah. That's something that, this is all stuff that we look inward and we look in and say, like, Holy Spirit, light up those things in me that are holding us back as a congregation. We shouldn't be looking at other people and saying, you're the one holding us back. Aha! No. That's not the point. We should be looking at ourselves. And then the Lord will reveal to us what we should be working on. Yeah. So there's lots of things. Oh, unconfessed sin. Did we say that one? That's a good one too. Disobedience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I put that in there. As I said, this is not an exhaustive list. There are a lot of things that can hold us back. Oh, lack of confidence. Yes. So the point of all that is, in the midst of our weakness, God still commands us to worship and praise him. And so there must be some kind of help. So we can't do it obviously on our own. Oh my goodness, what's the word? Enabled, empowerment. There must be some grace. Yeah, that's a word. Grace to bring us through that and into his presence. And so there is. Who is that? Sunday school answer, guys. Holy Spirit and Jesus. Amen. What did Jesus do? He actually died and rose again for all of that, so that we can live in resurrection life too. So even though those things may be holding us back, that there is hope and there is a grace there, an empowerment, a strength that can propel us into his presence in a time of need, right? When we go to his throne room and we ask for that grace in time of needs. So if there is a person that you just really can't forgive, how many people have experienced the grace of God to forgive that person? I have. I'm sure a lot of us have. If there is a fear of what we look like, I know I have personally experienced the grace of God that has lifted that fear off and enabled me to push through and dance anyways, or not just dance, even sing. Judas will know this, but when I was 13, I did not want to sing in a mic. I, like, that's terrifying. People would be able to hear my voice. But I pushed through because I don't know why, I guess. I just felt like the Lord gave me that grace to push through. Yes, there's an abandonment. Yes, amen. There was a time I went to do my DTS in Hawaii when I was 18, and I'd already danced all through high school here. You know, obviously not gracefully or great, but I had that summit experience. But I got to my DTS, and I kind of just was like, oh, just brush that to the side. I don't want to do that here. That would be crazy. Because no one else was dancing during worship, and I was like, I can't like be the only one. So I didn't. And then we were all supposed to share a 30-minute chapel talk once throughout the whole three-month lecture phase. And also public speaking was my top fear above death and above needles. Like public speaking when I was in high school was my number one fear. I would shake and almost throw up. Even if we went on an outreach thing or we went to like one of those freshman conferences and I had to share a testimony at the front, I would be like in the back and all my friends would be praying for me. Like, it's okay, like God will give her strength. And I'd be like, Anyway, so public speaking, funny enough, now I'm here and I'm speaking publicly, but that used to be a big fear of mine. So anyways, I had to prepare for this 30-minute talk, and I purposely put my name at the very last date because I was like, I cannot do this. At least I'll have 3 months to prepare. Of course, as we all do, I didn't really do that. I didn't prepare. And then it was a week before my talk. Oh, no, the time is upon me. And I had to do this, all this preparation. And in the midst of preparing, I felt like God told me to dance. And I was like, no flipping way. I am not going to dance in the front of this. Like, it was a small little lecture room. It wasn't a lot of space. And everyone was like, there was 30 probably students and staff that would be all sitting in front of me while I share the talk. And so God told me to dance. And I was like, I haven't danced this whole time. I'm a singer, not a dancer. I am not going to do this. So the night before I had to share, it was actually to a song that really embodied the message that he also had given me. And so I think I was like, no, up until that night. And then something almost like, again, the grace, like the empowerment, kind of like picked up my heart and carried me to the lecture room late at night. It was probably about midnight. No one else was awake. I turned on the song and I just like started to dance by myself with no one around. And at the end, I started like crying and also shaking, but I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to do it still. Anyway, so then we get to the talk. I start sharing, and it was really powerful to me even. It was something generic, obviously, like the God is so big, but because even though he's so big, he still, you know, looks and sees each one of us and loves us, you know, something like generic like that. It was my first time speaking, okay? and so then at the end, when I finished, I was like, oh, you know, I think I was supposed to dance, but I'm not going to do it. I don't know why I said that. And every single person, all 30 of them, were like, oh, dance, dance. Why did I say something? And so I was like, oh. Anyways, they were all telling me I should do it. So I was like, okay, I can't back down now. It's too late. I already, you know, exposed myself. So I went and turned on the music, and I just closed my eyes. And again, I tell you, it was not pretty, but I just did whatever I could, and I did feel the presence of the Lord. I didn't feel the Holy Spirit physically moving my arms to look beautiful, but I felt the presence of the Lord. And at the end, my ending pose was laying down on the floor with my head to the ground so that I could cry in peace. Anyway, so everyone was completely quiet. I was there with my face in the ground, kind of crying. And then one of the guys, he was one of the leaders, really tall Swiss guy, and he has never shown expression in worship pretty much his whole life, he told me. He's only like 25 at the time, but he came up in front of like everyone, and at the end, and he put his hand on my back, and he started crying, and he was like, that just set me free, and I was like, I came up, I was like, wait, what? And then I could see every single person was crying. And I knew that that was the Lord and not me, because I knew my skills would not create tears. So I couldn't believe it. And then because they found that out, that I could dance. My leaders on my outreach team made me dance at every single thing we did on outreach. So we went to Indonesia and I had to dance for 3 months straight, like in front of all these random Indonesian people. And that was an adventure. And half the time, I mean, a lot of the time it was just spontaneous because I don't even know how to make up moves. Like, I couldn't choreograph at the time. I was just like, okay, I'll just move. And they always put it right after the sermon as kind of like a response. And it was so funny because if I hadn't said anything, I wouldn't have done any of that. But I also wouldn't have experienced the freedom. Every single time I danced, it was like the Lord kept setting me free. And then he'd set others free through that. And I think because I knew how weak I really was in the human strength and human natural ability, it made it so much easier to see God's work. And so I think that's one of my biggest encouragements is, like, for those of us that don't, like you said, that we don't feel like we have the skill, it actually sets people free when you do it in spite of that. Like, when you break through your own freedom, it creates freedom around you. And I have seen that over and over and over again in my life. I'm only 33 on Saturday, but I have seen that I have seen that over and over again about the freedom that is experienced when I experience freedom around me. Like it really, and I carried. I'm kind of telling myself on myself because I haven't actually danced in years. I'm going to be dancing on Sunday. My biggest fear is happening again because I haven't danced in years. But to carry on that story. In Bible college, I went after my DTS. I also was in, you get into a new place and you're like, oh, I can be a new person. I don't have to dance. I can do what's comfortable. Anyways, and of course, again, no one else is dancing because it was not a thing, I guess, where we were. But again, I think I remember it was the first or second worship time because in Bible college that I went to, we would do an hour of worship every morning for 3 years. We did that. And so the first or second like worship time amongst the school, I felt like the Lord told me, if you don't dance now, you won't, and you won't experience freedom in other areas that you're here for. And so I was like, no, okay. So I just went to the back and I started dancing. And by the end of the 3 years, everyone kind of knew me as the dancer, but then it kind of spread. And throughout the years, there was this one guy, also like a really tall, tattooed, like kind of funny guy who had, you know, came from drugs and all these things. And he was like, definitely not a dancer. But by the end of the 3 years, he was always with me when we would dance. He would come at the back. And I think he was the most beautiful dancer because even though he had less skill than I did, there was something so precious and beautiful about his freedom that, like, every time we went somewhere, he would also bring breakthrough because it's just so powerful when you walk against that spirit, you know, that when you do the opposite, you know, walk in the opposite spirit. It's so powerful. And so all that to say, I was definitely not planning on sharing all that, but there is freedom when you step against the grain. Like when you go against what your thoughts are telling you, there is going to be freedom for others, not just yourself. And that is something worth it. For me, I wasn't just trying to break through for my own freedom, but what made it worth it was to see others set free. It was like, wow, it's amazing. Yeah. But that's not just for dancing. Sorry, that was just a very specific example, something that I've walked through. But it's just that expression in worship can be such a vulnerable place. And it's supposed to be like that, I think, because one thing, God doesn't call us to be comfortable. And he wants us to do hard things, which kind of is hard, right? Wouldn't it be easier if we could just sit and not do anything? And he meets us in those. I always heard this example of like the boat that's on the ocean that can't really go anywhere until the sail goes up. And so the sail going up was us starting, like making the first step, and then the Lord is the wind that brings us where he wants us to go. And so it's not as much work as we think. It's that first step, and then he does the rest. He really does. And I've seen that through speaking, public speaking. I've seen that through dance. I've seen that through worship leading in lots of different areas. Becoming a mom, holy moly. I do not feel like I was like created to be a mom, but thank you, Jesus, for he meets me in that ocean, which feels like an ocean. But thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Whew, number three. Whew, thank you, Jesus. wow, I got way off track. Oh, okay. Now we should play. Let's play that. Okay. So I'm about to play a video that will kind of. So the video is not to focus on the what per se. So it's not to watch, and it's not for all those details like that will make us feel a little bit bad. Because basically, the video is about the Chinese underground church. And often, when we can see these videos or like orphans in Africa, you know, there's this guilt and shame that comes over us. But my point of watching this video is that the Chinese people. From what I've experienced in Hong Kong and going not too far over the border, but Asians even in general are not the most expressive people with their emotions, right? I would say maybe like Brazilians and like Latin Americans would be more known for that, and maybe Africans, but Asians are not well known for their expressive emotions or expression at all. In fact, there's a joke in the cross-cultural awareness stuff where when we're happy, it's a meme where there's like a Western face and they've got, you know, happy, sad. And the happy, they've got the smile, and the sad, they've got a sad face. And then on the other side, it's an Asian and they've got a happy face for happy and a happy face for sad because they just always like need to save face. They don't want to express themselves because it can cause shame. So this video that they're going to bring up is very much the opposite of that. And that's what I want us to see is that if these amazing people can express themselves, then how much more can we in a free place? And we can't blame it because often I hear when I speak on this, it's just not my personality or it's just not what I feel like I can do or should do. But I just don't see that in the Bible for one. Every time I see a worship, it's a response. Like it's almost like a guttural like thing that just comes out of us to the goodness or who God is, you know? Like every time that Israel, all the whole nation fell down in worship, it was a very responsive thing to them seeing something that God did or them seeing a new characteristic that they didn't really see before, and Israel would fall down. And it wasn't, you know, just the Levites. And actually a few of the verses I've got, there's a verse that shows that it was like the whole nation, not just the Levites, sorry. The whole nation was on their knees in expression and response to the Lord. So don't worry about the guys speaking. So this video footage also, because my first thought was like, why are they showing their faces? This is probably like scary. But somehow the guy who shot this documentary, I think this is footage from many, many, many years ago. Maybe some of these people aren't even alive anymore. Like it's quite old footage, but it's still showing that extreme contrast of a stoic people experiencing the presence of the Lord and responding. So that's the point of this video. So let's watch that. Woo, that video gets me every time. Like what she said at the end, you know, she has nothing. She has nobody. She has no money, no job. But she has joy, and she knew it came from heaven because there's no way it came from natural circumstances. And that's what we have, you know, that's what we have in Jesus. And when we experience the presence of God, there has to be a response.
You know, a number of us are blessed to have memories that take us way back in the things of God, maybe some further than others. But I remember, you know, how Wimber would welcome the Holy Spirit and then he would take a coffee break. You know, he'd send everyone out for coffee and we'd come back and he'd welcome the Holy Spirit. And it's just so precious. Hannah, two things stand out. I was thinking of how in Ephesians 4, it says that these gifts, these fivefold ministries are for the equipping of the saints, for the service, for edification, to build up, and then for the work of service, for the work that we're all to do. And I feel like there's been a strengthening this morning. Your vulnerability, you know, and the words and the things you brought have brought a strengthening because this is a time for equipping. It's a time to be equipped, to be strengthened, you know, for the work that God has for us. And so I feel strengthened this morning, and you've made a deposit, and it kind of, you went off, and it was in that time, you know, God really used you, you know, and I mean, he used you through the whole time, but he used you to be vulnerable before us. And the other thing is that you carry a new child within you, you know, and there's an expectant, you know, you're an expectant mom, right? And there's an expectancy that God brings and has brought even into today. And he wants us to be expectant. He wants his people to be expectant. You know, like if there's so much to pull us down, so much in the world, you know, there's gross darkness, you know, but the Bible says that there will be a light that shines, you know, the glory of God in the midst of a gross darkness, eh? And so you're expectant, and that's, you stood before us vulnerable, expectant, and there's a deposit that's been made. So now we're going to have a coffee break, but we're filled, this, you know, and it's him that's filling us. It's the Lord that's filling us up and equipping us for works of service. That's what he's doing. So I just, Lord, in your name, I commission us this morning, Lord. I just send us out, Lord God, to go into all the world, Lord. You sent us. It's very unique, Lord. Thank you for the ones that have shared in the service this morning. Even, Lord, as we've heard about Israel, and we've heard about Israel Gimba, and we've heard about the things that are coming, and many other areas we've gone, Lord. And every single one of us, Lord, has spheres of influence and places that our feet will go in the coming days, that other people's feet will not go in those directions. But Lord, we pray that you would commission us, Lord, that as you fill us with your Spirit, as you come and fill us with your Spirit, and we ask, Lord, for filling, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we would go out into those places, Lord, expectant that you will meet with us, and we will meet those situations, not in our own strength, but with your Spirit and with your grace. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for these dear ones we've been able to intercede for today, Lord. Thank you that they're in your grip, in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just remembered a funny story that involves you, Pastor Chuck. So as I was talking about my non-skills of dancing, when I was 12 years old, we had just moved into this building and we were all practicing learning flags. And there was one point during the worship service where all of us were supposed to go down the aisles with the flags. And I was running down this aisle, and Pastor Chuck was sitting over there, and I smacked him in the head with the flag. I don't think he remembers this. I might have knocked it right out of his memory, and he probably was maybe very gracious in not acknowledging what I did, because I was in such humiliation. I actually didn't finish the dance, and I ran to the bathroom and cried. But that was an example of, you know, I just try anyways. And it didn't stop me in my career of flagging. I kept going. But yeah, just to finish with that story.
Since we've gone from the sublime to the ridiculous, I want to tell you another funny story. Just over the printer there's a whole bunch of pictures of a trip to Malawi that one of the deacons, you'll meet him next week, Steve Eckford, and I were invited to go to Malawi because Bob and Terry O'Brien had been there, and they said, the leaders in the Baptist church there said, you need to have your pastors come. So I said, well, I'll go, and then Steve said, I'll go with you. So at that time, there was a lot of dancing in the church. The church was always dancing. And so we arrived there. The pastor said, well, the reason that we wanted you to come was because you have a dancing church. And then he called us up onto the platform in this Baptist church with probably 400 people. And he said, these pastors have come from Canada to dance for us.
What did you do? I'm like, I can't. That's hilarious. Amen. So I didn't get to any of the four Hebrew words I was supposed to say today, but one of them was halal. And that's what we talked about a lot today, is dancing ridiculously before the Lord. But there's still four more, so there's more to come. Part 6 is next time. But thank you, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you all.